Haideți să deschidem Bibliile în seara aceasta la Exodul, capitolul 15, și am să citesc de la versetul 22 până la versetul 25. Exodus, chapter 15. I'm going to start from verse 22nd through 25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So Moses, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Tonight, by the grace of God, and I'm saying that because for the past, I would say, 10 days, me and my wife, and actually my whole family, were hit with a severe cold and sickness. It was gradually developing in something pretty brutal, where we couldn't sleep at night, coughing all day long. And I didn't thought I'm going to make it tonight. I even called Colleen and my uncle, Frater Lazar, and I told them, I don't think I'm going to make it. And finally today, I felt like I can do it. I feel like I come here. And I think it's just because of His grace and His mercy towards me. I have this subject tonight. I mean, this subject of tonight is been on my heart for such a long time. And it's a subject that we as a church have to apply, and we are in need to apply it. And I think we are lacking in this. Honestly, unfortunately, we are lacking in this subject. I'm talking about tonight. Tonight, it's going to be the subject, the theme was, it's going to be the gift, a gift. What gift I'm going to talk tonight about is the gift of forgiveness. A gift that I'm holding it, and God is asking me to give it away. The gift that applies to me even though I'm giving it to somebody else. Tonight I'm going to talk about giving yourself the gift of forgiveness. What I'm trying to say by that. I'm going to bring you some scripture to you to see how important is this act of us, of ours, towards our brothers and sisters. You'll say, if I forgive somebody, and that's the gift that I'm talking about, is you forgiving somebody, the person that hurt you the most, the person that actually trashed you down, talk different things about you, gossip about you, the person that actually cheated on you, the person who convinced you to go in a deal with them and then rob you completely. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, through the life of the Holy Scripture, to forgive that person who hates you and does nothing else but wants to hurt you. How many of us, we are in the same situation today? I think every single one of us. God is calling us. Give your gift, give yourself this gift to forgive others. You might say, what kind of gift is that? If I give something to others, it doesn't apply to me, it doesn't do me any good. Wrong. If you keep that grudge, that bitterness in your heart, if you keep it in your heart and develop it day by day, what's going to happen? It transforms in hate. More, it transforms in anger. And it transforms you in a murderer, in a killer, according with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you hate your brother or your sister, you're nothing else but a murderer. So, by holding forgiveness in you, you're not doing anything else that you're destroying your own being. The bitterness, the anger eats you up, consumes you. Then why hold it? You can say, I have all the rights. You don't understand what that person did to me. You don't understand how many arrows and how many bad words that person throw at me. You just don't understand that person cheated on me. I trust that person with everything I had, and the guy, the girl cheated on me. They completely robbed me from everything I had. How can I forgive? You have all the reasons not to forgive. But by not forgiving, you're harming yourself, not the other person. You might harm the other person a little bit, but it's you, the one who suffers the most. In fact, like we see in this passage, the people of Israel, they end up in this place, a place of bitterness. You end up in your life, in your situation, in a situation of bitterness, a situation where there's no hope for you. You feel like, where's God? I want you to understand one thing tonight. In your bitterness, in your sorrow, in your anger, you're going to start murmuring. You're going to start complaining. You're going to start accusing. You're going to start hating. But do you know who do you hate? Do you know who do you complain against? You're going to say, the person that actually harmed me. It's not true. You're complaining against God. You're not complaining against your neighbor, and you're not complaining a person that actually hurt you. You're complaining against God. Because if you're a true Christian and you truly believe and know the scripture, you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, no temptation, no situation comes upon you if you cannot bear it. Everything that comes upon you goes through the filter of God and then comes upon you. So you can bear every single situation that comes against you, because that's what Jesus said. So, in fact, you're not complaining against your brother, but you're complaining against your own God because he allowed it. And why does he allow this kind of stuff? Verse 25 says this, at the end of the verse, the final part, so he made a statue, an ordinance for them, and there he tests them. When God brings you in that situation, God doesn't do anything else but to test you. Whatever is in your heart is being revealed when it's tested, when you go through trials, when you go through problems. How do I know that? Let's look at the cross. We have Jesus on a cross, pinned on a cross, has nails in hands, in his feet, beaten so brutally that you couldn't recognize him. He was up there, and as if it was not enough, the people, the soldiers, the Pharisees were going up there and saying, you know, call your God to take you off the cross. I mean, seriously, is it enough? You already have him on the cross. Why you have to mock him even more? And what Jesus said, God forgive him because they don't know what they do. What is that? It's what is in Jesus' heart. But when temptation comes, when sorrow comes, when situations come, when somebody is doing you harm, what is coming out of your heart? Bitterness? Then you have a bitter heart. You can put a nice face, a smile, raise your hands, praise God, be happy. But that's not who you are. Who you are is being revealed when you're tested by God. So your reaction to that test, it's what's in your heart. So God, what is trying to tell you is, Gabi, I'm testing you so I can reveal to you what's in your heart, what is your problem, and go and fix it. Or let me fix it. The people of Israel, they had the solution in front of their eyes. The tree was there. The Bible tells us the tree was not brought by somebody. The tree was not miraculously brought, you know, formed by God. The tree was there when they show up at the waters. They couldn't see it, and they couldn't understand the power and the meaning of it. When we read in the Bible about the tree, it talks about the cross. We as Christians, we know, and we know the power of the cross. We know what happened at the cross and what Jesus did at the cross. That's why when you're in that situation, where in that, and I think all of us, we are in one point in our life, we're in that situation when somebody did something really awful to me, to you. And it's so hard. You hold that for so many years, and it's so hard to release it, to say, I'm going to forgive you, even though you don't deserve it, even though you're still hurting me, I'm going to forgive you. Because in my heart, it's not bitterness, it's love, compassion. What is in your heart? What is in your heart when God is testing you? What is in your heart when somebody is doing you harm? What is in your heart? What's your first reaction? Analyze yourself. Because God wants you to be in that situation, to realize, you know what, if I'm bitter, I have to work on that. If I'm angry, I have to work on that. How do I do that? Few steps. First of all, let's look at the cross. Let's look at the cross. Pause it for a second. Maybe you snap, but just pause. Think about what the cross did. It does to you. Think about what the cross, what happened at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Pause it and think about it. First Peter, I'm not going to read the passages because the time flies so fast, but I'm going to give you some scripture that talks about the cross and what happened at the cross. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24 talks about that, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 talks about what happened at the cross, what the cross is. So, for a minute, pause from your anger and look at the cross. Realize that at the cross, Jesus died. Take the cross, take Jesus, and put him in the waters, in the bitter waters of your life. Take Jesus and put him in your situation. Don't try to solve it on your own. Don't try to develop a system or a plan. Just take the solution in your hands. It's in front of your eyes. Toss it in your waters, in your problems, and they will turn sweet. Second, we have to accept, and we need to understand what actually happened on the cross. When Jesus Christ died at the cross, when Jesus Christ was crucified and pinned on a tree, and when he said, it is finished, that means it is finished. That means he took away all the sins. First John chapter 2, verse 2 says, he took away not just my sins, but the sins of the entire world. He took the sin of your brother. If your brother gossip against you, he sins against God and against you. But guess what? Jesus died for that sin. When somebody cheated on you, he sinned against you and against God. But guess what? Jesus died for that sin. So when Jesus said, is it finished? It means it is finished. If you hold bitterness towards that person just to pay him, just to show him that you are bitter towards him, it's not going to do any good. Because Jesus said, what can we add more to him, to what he did? Jesus said, it is finished. Do we really understand what happened at the cross? Do we really understand what happened when Jesus said, it is finished? That means it's finished. And I'm repeating myself. I'm repeating this word, finish, because in reality, we don't understand. We think it doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply to our situation. And it's true, every single situation is different, but it applies to all of us when he said, it is finished. I took upon every single sin, every single situation that is going on. What is going to happen if we're not doing this? If we're not pausing? If we're not looking at the cross? What happens if we don't understand what forgiveness is? We don't understand what Jesus did at the cross. We don't understand that we need to forgive our brother and our sister even though they wronged us so much. What happens if we don't understand? First of all, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, talks about a servant who owed a lot of money to his master. And I'm talking about a huge, huge amount of money. Some theologian says that you can't even describe it. It's in hundreds of billions of dollars. So he went before his master, and his master said, you know what? I need you to pay my debt, your debt towards me. So you don't have anything, I know that, but I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to take your wives, your kids. I'm going to, you know, enslave them collateral towards the debt. And you're going to stay in prison until the date it's paid. Now, obviously, the poor guy being in jail, he couldn't pay. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't pay even if he would have been outside, let alone if it's in jail. We knell, we go to the master, and we ask and we beg forgiveness. The master, being impressed, and he looked at him, he looked at his situation. You know what? You're forgiven. Go away. Don't do anything. Just enjoy, rejoice, enjoy the life. He went down the street. He found a person, a friend, one of his brothers, that owed him, and according with scholars, it was about 3 months' pay. What that person did, we all know, he was not merciful. He put him in jail. He didn't forgive them. He didn't forgive that poor guy. He said, you know, you owe me. And he did. He owed him 3 months' pay. But he said, you know what? I'll put you in jail. I'm not going to forgive you. What happened with him? He ended up in chains. Same thing can happen to me and to you. If we're not forgiving our brothers and sisters for the wrong they did to us, we're going to end up in chains. The chains of our bitterness, in the chains of our sorrow, in the chains of our anger and hate, we're going to end up enchained by our own thoughts. And you're not going to be free to smile, to praise God. You're not going to be free to enjoy life. Why? Because you are enchained. And that's what the Bible said. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. I'm not going to go through it. But if you don't forgive, it's going to kill you. Eventually, it's going to kill you. Ahithophel, he couldn't forgive David, and eventually, that killed him. Do you want to put yourself in chains? Or you want to be free? Do you want to bring death upon you? Or you want to live? No matter how hard it is to forgive, Jesus asks us to forgive. Jesus asks us, he commands us to forgive. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, so says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers and his trespassers. And actually, verse 34 and 35. So his master, this is the conclusion of what happened to poor guy. So his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. So verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if you don't forgive each other. Now, don't mind what I said as God be pleased, but just mind what this verse says. Verse 35, if you have your Bibles, mine is in red letters. That means it's Jesus Christ's words. So think about he's speaking to you tonight. He asks you, not me, nobody in this room. He, Jesus Christ, asks you to forgive. It's a call that we as Christians have to do. So When you're facing a situation, first of all, look at the cross. Second of all, understand what happened on the cross. And third of all, understand the repercussions of not doing what he asked you. Let us be free to enjoy life. Let us be free to love one another and to grow, because many times we cannot move forward because of what's inside. God bless you.